Hello, American government and civics. Welcome to our review for our second to last test. We have to get into the court and criminal proceedings. So let's jump right into it. The review can be found on eClass. Excuse me. And we start off here with the Supreme Court basics. So at the heart of our court system is the Supreme Court, and it is the last court that you have any chance at. Okay. What I mean by that is if you have appealed your case all the way up to the Supreme Court, there's nowhere else to go. Once they make their decision, that is the final decision. Hopefully no one in this classroom ever finds themselves in a Supreme Court legal battle. Like, hopefully it's never something that you're having to concern yourselves with. But if you ever do, it is the final one. So the basics. First off, how many justices are there? There are nine. Okay. So the nine justices will sit and they will listen to the oral arguments from both the prosecution and the plaintiff. And they'll ask questions, then they'll deliberate and make a decision. Okay. The nine comes from really nowhere. It's just a number that we have decided upon. The Constitution does not set the number at, there's no number. That's what I'm trying to say. Congress gets to decide. So this is why you hear about, if you remember U.S. history, FDR tried to pack the court. There was talk when Biden was getting, Biden was going through the election process about him putting new people on there because Trump had put three people on the court. So that number is not set in stone. All right, the process to become a justice is pretty simple. The president has to nominate you. You then go through a Senate confirmation process where the Senate will ask you questions and then they vote. And if they say yes, then you become a justice. There are no requirements other than that to become a justice. The process to hear a case. So the court gets to pick their own cases. They get to pick what they're going to hear. And there's no guarantee that just because your case has made it to the Supreme Court that they will hear. It depends on a lot of factors that we're not going to really worry about. Okay. But you can be guaranteed that they will put eyes on your case. At least they will review it. So basically what happens is the court gets these appeals sent to them. They go through them, look through them, and the judges individually kind of decide, hey, I like this case, or I don't like this case to hear, so on and so forth. If four of the nine decide they want to hear a case, then it is going to be heard before the Supreme Court. All right. Now they will talk, they will discuss, they will deliberate about which cases they're going to hear. But if four of them say yes, it's going to go to the court. When they say yes, it's called granting it the writ of certiorari. And so that's that Latin word that you see on the review. You didn't know that one. It is just, hey, we're going to hear this case is all it says. Alrighty. And that is the process of hearing a case. Now, they only hear probably 30, maybe max 50 cases per year. So there are hundreds, maybe thousands of cases appealed to them every year. So there's not a high percentage of cases that they hear. Alrighty. So to get granted the writ is pretty rare. The lifetime terms. So judges, all federal judges in our system are granted lifetime terms. We do this because we don't want our justices to have to worry, excuse me, about any kind of electoral process. We don't want them to have to worry, hey, if I make this decision, it's going to upset this group of voters over here. So I better do this. All right. We don't want them to have to worry about that. We just want them to worry about what's the constitutional issue and rule on it the way it should be ruled. All right. And so that's the big thing about the lifetime term. We don't have judges at the federal level that are worried about re-election. Next up is criminal versus civil. So criminal is when you have done something wrong, and hopefully you never do anything wrong, but you've done something wrong and the government is trying to punish you. All right. So the criminal side, you have broken a law that was set by the local government, the state government, the federal government. And now the government is going to try and punish you, and there is jail time on the table, there is fines, there's all kinds of stuff. Civil is where it's person to person. So civil could be a contract issue where maybe you signed a contract with a workplace and now you want out because you got a better job offer and you want to break your contract. Maybe something has happened at your in your neighborhood. Maybe a tree fell from your house onto your neighbor's back deck and they want you to pay for the damages, but you're refusing. That's not really any law that's been broken, but that would be a civil case. Divorce proceedings are civil. So it's when it's person versus person. There's no jail time. There could be some monetary issues, but there's no jail time on the table. Plea bargaining. Plea bargaining is going to be what probably gets done, I want to say at least probably 70 to 75, maybe even more percent of the time in cases. So basically what happens is the prosecution comes to your lawyer and says, look, here's the evidence we got. We know your person did it. And if they will plead guilty, we'll give them a reduced sentence. So if I'm looking at a possible 50 years in jail and the prosecution comes to me and says, look, we got all this evidence against you. You're going to be found guilty and we're going to get 50 years. However, if you say that you did it, we'll give you 5 and you can get out in 5 years. I might be willing to take that deal. Okay. The prosecution loves to plea bargain because it takes the case. It's a win for them. It takes time, money, and resources to try a case. They don't have to do that when you plea bargain and you get a win there. So there's a lot of benefits for the prosecution. Some benefits for the defense as well in that, you know, it's a lessened sentence and, you know, you might get out earlier than that even sometimes. All right. Now, victims' families don't always like this. We got to remember there's if it's a crime, there's typically a victim. Some examples of felonies. So you're going to pick out some on the test. So just be sure you're taking a look at the PowerPoints that are posted for you that has some of these things. I'll go over a few here. But remember, a felony is the stronger of the two types of violations. You got misdemeanors, which are less, and you got felonies, which are stronger. So felonies are going to be like murder, certain types of assault, bank robbery, things like that, kidnapping. Those are some of the sorts of felonies that are out there. Okay. Activism versus restraint. So you did an assignment on this, and activism is where judges are taking kind of an active role in setting policy with their decision. So the court plays a big role in setting policy for the country, especially at the federal level. And activism is where the judges knowingly make decisions that are going to kind of set a policy for the country. Versus restraint, that's where judges are sticking with what the Constitution says, what past decisions say. All righty. Judicial review. Judicial review, this is the court's ability to declare laws, policies, executive orders, things like that that the rest of the branches have done unconstitutional. And this comes from Marbury versus Madison. So if you ever see judicial review, you probably know the court case Marbury versus Madison is associated with it or vice versa. But it's just the Supreme Court's ability to look at laws, to look at policies, to look at policies and things like that. I think I said policies twice there. Sorry. To look at those sorts of things and say, hey, this is unconstitutional. All right, I'm going to take a quick break and be right back. Welcome back, American Government Civics. We are picking up with due process. So due process, these are all the rights you have as an accused person, okay? So from the time you're a suspect, so you are suspected of doing something wrong and the police want to search your house, you have rights. You have due process. You have the Fourth Amendment that protects you from unlawful search and seizure. Then you're being questioned by the police. You have the Fifth Amendment, which protects your rights to not have to self-incriminate yourself. So you don't have to speak. You can remain silent. Then you've been arrested. You've been charged. You have a trial date. You have the Sixth Amendment, which protects you and guarantees you a fair trial and all the things that go into that. And then you're convicted and you're sent to prison. You still have the Eighth Amendment, which protects you from cruel and unusual punishment. All right. So all those things make up due process. And the whole point of them is this. If the government is going to criminally charge you or criminally go after you, they have to give you due process if they're going to try and take away your right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. If they're going to try and take away your natural rights, which are the three things we just said, they have to give you this due process. They have to treat you fairly throughout the process. Alrighty. Original versus appellate jurisdiction. Original jurisdiction is just where your case enters the court system. So if you get a traffic violation, okay, let's say you pass a school bus, then you're going to go to traffic court. That's original jurisdiction. Let's say you rob a bank. You're going to go to a federal district court. That's original jurisdiction. Alrighty. So wherever your case first enters the court system, that's original. When you lose that and you appeal to the next court, that's appellate. Now, the difference here is original is going to be your traditional trial. Here's the judge, here's witnesses, here's evidence, here's a jury, all that kind of stuff. Appellate and appeals, that's just going to be based on the issue that you're appealing. So if I'm appealing because my Sixth Amendment right to counsel was violated, that's what I'm going to appeal on, and that's what the appellate court is going to look into. They're not going to look at new evidence. They're not going to look at witnesses. There's not a trial here. They're just looking at the record and to see if my Sixth Amendment rights were violated. Opinions, majority, concurring, and dissenting. So majority opinion from the Supreme Court, this is the winning side. If it's 9-0, if it's 5-4, the majority gets to write the majority opinion. And this is the one that kind of sets the policy for the country. Concurring is that I agree with the majority opinion, but maybe I agree for different reasons. But I'm going to get my ideas down on paper. Dissenting is the losing side. They want to get their ideas and why they were against this decision out there. The Bill of Rights, already talked about the 4th, 5th, 6th, and 8th Amendment. So just very quickly, the 1st Amendment is the one that guarantees your right to free speech, press, religion, assembly, and petition. The 2nd Amendment guarantees your right to bear arms. The 3rd Amendment is no quartering of troops. And we're not going to worry too much about the 7th, the 9th, and the 10th for this test. You do need to know them, and we'll go over them in the final exam review. But for now, you don't have to really worry about them. All right. Lastly is a couple of court cases that you need to know, and you'll be using these a couple of times. So just be aware you'll use them in our next unit as well. Marbury versus Madison. I already mentioned this one. It is the one that created judicial review. So Marbury was supposed to be a federal judge. John Adams signed him into, signed his paperwork as he was leaving office. That's why you might have heard of the Midnight Judges. And Thomas Jefferson and James Madison, who were the president and secretary of state, refused to turn in the paperwork, basically. And so Marbury sued. And the Supreme Court said, well, you know what? That whole court system is wrong. We're going to declare that unconstitutional. Matt versus Ohio. This case is going to get illegally obtained evidence booted from your court hearing. So basically, Dolores Mapp was at our house and the police showed up. They wanted to search her house for a convict. Someone had escaped prison. She said no. They come back a little bit later. They wave a piece of paper in her face, say, we've got a warrant to search your house. They did not, because the warrant never showed back up. It was fake. But while they're in there, because they kind of barged their way in, they found some drug paraphernalia and they arrested her. She was charged and convicted. She will appeal based on Fourth Amendment saying no unlawful search and seizure. And so the court said, yeah, we agree. And they kicked out the evidence that was used against her. So basically, illegally obtained evidence cannot be used against you. It's called the exclusionary rule. New Jersey versus TLO. In this case, it's kind of the reverse, and it deals with you here at school, although y'all are about done. In this case, TLO was a female student. She's like 13, 14 years old. She was caught smoking in the bathroom back in the 80s, was taken to the principal's office. They searched her bag, and they found some drugs. She was arrested, charged. She's going to appeal, saying my Fourth Amendment rights were violated. But the court is going to say, well, you know what? Schools have a little more freedom. Schools can search students' bags. Admin only needs reasonable suspicion, whereas the police need probable cause. Miranda versus Arizona, you're probably familiar with this one if you watch TV like I do. This is the one that's going to get your rights read to you if you're being arrested. Hopefully you know when you're arrested to hear that. But in this case, Ernesto Miranda was arrested. he was questioned about the attack rape of a young lady, and he was questioned by the police and admitted it, said I did it, and that's what they used to convict him. He's going to appeal, saying I didn't know, I didn't have to talk to the police. And so the Supreme Court's going to agree, saying yeah, you should be made aware of your Fifth Amendment rights. And so he was given a second trial. Now, he was still feeling guilty even without the confession. So he did it. But anyways, that's why today you have the rights read to you when you're arrested. Gideon versus Wainwright. Gideon was a kind of a vagrant type, and he was accused of breaking and entering into a pool hall. It was a misdemeanor, so not a huge deal. But he asked for a lawyer because he couldn't afford one, and they said no. He was charged and convicted based on some shaky witness testimony that probably a good lawyer could have probably questioned and gotten kicked out. But he didn't have one. So he was put in jail for a year or so. He appealed, saying, hey, I should have had a lawyer. And the Supreme Court's going to agree. So this, the Gideon versus Wainwright, is the Sixth Amendment case. Gregg versus Georgia deals with the Eighth Amendment and cruel and unusual punishment. This is the one that said it's okay for the death penalty and is not overly cruel. And then finally, Brown versus Board of Education. This is the one that is going to integrate the schools. You probably remember this from U.S. history. It used the 14th Amendment and equal protection, which we'll get into in our last unit, to overturn a case from 1890, which was Plessy versus Ferguson, which was said it was okay to have separate but equal schools. Brown versus Board of Education say, well, it's not okay. That is not equal protection. And therefore, we have integrated schools since 1954. All right, guys, that is the test review. The test is shorter. It is on Thursday, the 18th, I think is the date. So be sure you're in class that day, and we'll get this thing knocked out. And we have one last test to take after this one. All right, guys, hope all is well. Let me know if you have questions. Email me or whatever you need to do, and I'll help you out. Take care. Bye-bye.